The charismata, leaning towards the truth, just a little bit. If we say that we fully comprehend God and what He's attempting to do through our lives, we must only speak from what the Holy Spirit reveals through the leading of the charismata. This is Pastor John. Thank you for coming to a brand new look, brand new series from Los Angeles in the Lucy Coleman studio. I'm Pastor John. On these days, I'm going to discuss the charismata. What is that, you may say? Let's talk about it a little bit. Charismata. That's a plural, and the singular comes from a Greek word, charisma. Things given. Very interesting word. And as we look at this word, we have to take it maybe a step further. Well, just a step further. Putting it another way, the charismata is the stuff of grace. A charisma is given. It is not earned or bought by anyone. It is given by the Spirit, these gifts. It's not by the leader of a church body. It can sometimes come from the Spirit through a church body or a leader, and it can also come against the wishes of the church bodies and the leaders, or even the body of believers as a whole. There are many kinds of gifts that we're going to discuss here that the Spirit gives, but ultimately, life itself is a free gift from God. Life is a charisma, so to say. But when Christians speak of the charismata, they are talking of a specific kind of gift, a gift that is given specifically to build up the community of believers, those within it, those that it serves. And these gifts are given not to save, but to basically empower those who are already saved. Now, I'll be quoting in this particular series from many, many authors. As a matter of fact, I was doing research here in the office today, and for those of you Bible students, you know, it would deem you well to get yourself a good computer and just type in charismata. Put it under a Google search and see what you come up with. My world. It's an interesting article that I'll be quoting from. It's a number of pages, 17 pages to be exact. And it gives diagrams and it gives, oh my goodness, it really gives you a line on dispensationalism. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to define that for you too. Dispensationalism is a way of viewing the history of divine action, how God acts in a particular time span. Let me put it to you this way. It comes in the form of a question. Would God do today in the life of man as He did yesterday? So dispensationalism is a way of viewing history of divine action and interaction with humans recorded in the Bible. The best known version of this that was made popular by the Scofield Reference Bible in 1909, a long time ago. And it was developed by John Nelson Darby, the Darby Bible, looking at 1800 to 1882. And it divides history into eras or dispensations, the eras of innocence, conscience, civil government, promise, law, grace, the kingdom of God. And in each, God puts human obedience to the test in a different way, revealed by God. And in each, of course, we fail the test. Once you really look at dispensationalism, humans fail the test that God has placed them in. So eventually the last dispensation will end, and the Lord will disperse judgment in his thousand-year earthly reign. That's if you believe in that. Because if you don't believe in the dispensational of a thousand-year earthly reign of Christ, then, yeah. So a dispensationalist, what he does is he approaches and creates errors out of nowhere. Sometimes they overplay the importance of each error and then exaggerate the main themes for that error, and it only faintly touches on how much alike each error really is. I know this sounds real confusing. What? Yeah, right. It has all the difficulties of other millennialist teachings based upon a thousand-year frame of reference, plus those of having a rigid and fixed view of history. See, and this is where the charismata comes into this, because if you're attempting to explain the charismata, well, are you defining it within what dispensationalist frame of reference? So now you see, my brothers and sisters, how technical it becomes, because we have to look into these things theologically. Now, what I thought that I'd do for the premiere presentation of the Charismata is share with you some of the books that I'll be teaching and reading from. One of the ones that I have in my library, it is an, oh my goodness, and I'm going to take my time with this because I do want you to take down the titles of these books. This book was put out by Victor Books, and it's called 19 Gifts of the Spirit by Leslie B. Flynn. Dr. Leslie Flynn, he's a former pastor of Grace Conservative Baptist Church in Nanuet, New York, where he served for 40 years. He's written more than 30 books, amongst them the classics, this classic and The Twelve, a book called The Twelve. In this book right here, what he does is it's a great book. It's called The 19 Gifts of the Spirit. Over at this time when I bought this paperback, it was over 200,000 copies were in print. Interesting book. When I went through the Charismata, I taught from this wonderful little paperback. All my markings are in this book. It's a great little book. On the back of the book, it says, Charismatic. You certainly are, if you are a Christian at all. And that's a true statement. All Christians are charismatics. I'm a charismatic. You're a charismatic. But perhaps not the way the term is frequently used today. Charismata is a Greek word meaning gifts of grace. It refers to the gifts or special abilities given to Christians by the Holy Spirit. All the gifts, not just speaking in tongues, or miracles, or healing. In this book, he covers what are the 19 gifts. That's why I have this book on the top of my list as a book for you to go out there and get. What are the 19 gifts? Secondly, are they all for today? Thirdly, what are their purposes? And fourthly, how can we discover and put use to our gifts? Then he says, all of these questions plus careful examination of the gifts revealed in the Bible are included in this in-depth study, first published in the year 1974. If you want to know what the Bible says about spiritual gifts, this book is for you. The ISBN number is 1-56-476-337-4. You should be able to get this book. That's on the top of my list of books for spiritual gifts. Then I have, I guess, the book that's second in order would be a book called Tongues in Biblical Perspective by Charles R. Smith. Tongues in Biblical Perspective by Charles R. Smith. My goodness, you turn to the back of this book. I don't even think that you can find this book in print. As a matter of fact, I bought it for $6.39. Can you believe it? I really got a deal with this book. And if you really want to know about tongues, I would really highly admonish you to get this book. Now, why? I want you to listen to Smith's credentials. I know some of you that are charismatics or holiness, you don't believe in looking at a man's credentials. You don't think that that's important. Well, I think that's where you're wrong. Charles Smith, at the time that this book came out, was a professor of Greek and theology at Grace Theological Seminary. In other words, if he was a professor of Greek, he studied Greek. Greek is the original language that the New Testament scripture was written in. Greek does not read like English. It is not English. It is a foreign language. The Bible was a foreign book to Americans, written in a foreign culture. The words and the meaning and the intentions, even when transliterated, you must study that because those words don't hold the same connotation that an English word would hold. Charles also attended Memphis State College, Bryan College, where he got his BA from, Dallas Theological Seminary, that's DTS, where he received his THM, North Texas State University, Winona Lake School of Theology, and Grace Theological Seminary, where he received a THD. He's contributed significant articles and book reviews to theological and scientific journals. That means that he writes. He thinks. Other people that write and think read him and think about what he's saying. He served as registrar and chairman of the Department of Bible and Theology at the Miami Christian University from 1963 to 1970. He was listed in the 1970 edition of Outstanding Young Men of America and the 1972 edition of Outstanding Educators in America. The man is no dummy. I don't know whether he's still alive today. The book is called Tongues in the Biblical Perspective. The ISBN number, you want this number. Get your pen and paper. You want to get this book. ISBN number is 0-88-46-90059. Need to get this book. Excellent book. If you're going to study with me in the Charismata, and I'll be quoting from that book. I'll be quoting from Dr. Smith. I have another third text. Oh, this book is just tearing up. The pages are falling apart. Tongues by Zeros Zodiades. An exegetical commentary on 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. One of the finest books that you're going to find out there. That's why my book is falling apart. I have it literally scotch taped together. Let me see. Yeah, it has an ISBN number on it. You want that? ISBN 0 8995-7512. One of the finest books on the issue today. I've used this also in teaching. It says the study of the biblical record from the Greek text. Oh my goodness. I love this. Just let me read this little preface here that it has in this book. It says there are three historical instances in the New Testament where people spoke instantly in languages that they had never learned. Then he says they were enabled to do so by the Holy Spirit. Furthermore, they were understood by those who heard them. The languages did not become permanent acquisitions of the speakers. They were not taught at a spiritual meeting. It is what the Greek text of Acts 2 and 10 and 19. Is that what the Greek text, he says, of Acts 2, 10, and 19 makes clear? This book examines just that. Then he says, did the Apostle Paul speak in tongues? Did he not say so in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18? Then he quotes the verse, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. And then Zeros asks this question, what kind of utterance was he referring to? Was it the same as the historical evidences, as in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 10, verse 19? Chapter 2, 10 and 19, that is. Was it the same as the historical instances there? Was it the same as what the Corinthians used in their time of worship? Were these languages or static speeches? Is there one unknown tongue, which is what is referred to in 1 Corinthians 13:1 as the tongue of angels? Could this be, he asked, the same angelic language which would cause unbelieving listeners to say, they are mad, maniacs? Because that's what mad means in the Greek text. These people are maniacs. Rather than to be attracted by it? So he's asking some good questions. Then he says, in this book, all the passages of the New Testament referring to tongues are carefully examined in detail from the Greek text. Now, I'm glad that Zeros does that. That's why I'll be quoting from his book here too. Thus far, you've seen what I've done, is I've chosen texts that are speaking from the Greek text. Pastor John does not want to speak to you on the charismata from what he thinks, what he feels, or giving you his, what the Holy Ghost is saying in me. You don't want to do that, friends, because you know what? Sometimes the devil talks to you. Oh, yeah. Sometimes the devil will come and try to talk to you, and you could. There has been whole denominations that the worldwide church of God, whole denominations started with devils talking with those people. I have a book in my library that speaks about that too, which I'll share with you, because you can follow a lie. You can follow it very easy. Then Zeros goes on and says, comparisons are drawn between the historical instances of the Corinthian practice. He says, no one passage should be examined out of context. Now, I'm glad that Zeros says that in his particular book here, because he says that when you begin to study the charismata out of context, then you're studying it from what the traditions of your religious group or your dispensation teaches. And you know what? Well, let me finish reading this preface and then I'll get into that. It says, the whole 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians dealing with tongues is a masterpiece by Paul. I would agree with him on that. It has been a challenge to me, but I trust it will be also to you. Study it carefully, he says, asking the Holy Spirit to lead you to understand the truth of apostolic revelation. Now, you know why Zorro says apostolic revelation? Because your pastor is not apostolic revelation. There's a good formalized point to start off with. Your pastor is not the holy aura. He is not the issue that you judge by. So that's the third book on my list. I really have a top first book. I should have pulled this out first. This is a nice hardback book. I have one of the hardback editions. On the back of the book it says, "Is the Bible still being written?" Here's another question. How can we know what the Bible means? That's a good question, isn't it? Don't you think? Here's another one. Is experience more important than God's Word? Think that one through. Well, I know what I experience. In other words, this author is saying, does it jibe with the Word of God? Does it go along with what God said? Well, no, but I mean, wait a minute. Another question. Are miracles the normative today? When stop. You're just asking the question. Don't be tripping. What you tripping for? Here's another. What really happened in Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, chapter 10, chapter 19? Sounds like asking the same kind of question. No, Zeros didn't write this book. Here's another question. Is spirit baptism fact or feeling? Wait a minute, black folk. I know you felt the Holy Ghost all over you, right? Is that a fact that there was a Holy Ghost on you? Just asking a question. Here's another. Is the gift of healing practiced today? Well, I know I was healed of my cancer. Wait a minute, you know? I just got a quick question up on top of that. Was it validated? What doctor saw you? Which one took the biopsy? Can I read the biopsy report? Are you going to give me a Benny Hinn factory thing here? Here's another one. What does the Bible teach about tongues? And that's the biggest charismatic question of the universe, huh? Here's another one. What kind of tongues are being spoken today? What do you mean, what kind? There's only one kind. Any question? What? Here's another one. What does it mean to be spiritual? People have accused me for years, and I'm not. You see, John's not spiritual. He has so much head knowledge that the Holy Spirit cannot work in him. You know what? When I hear people talk to me like that, I say, man, you know what? You know what? You got to be the clown of the century. That's not even a bad ad hominem argument. Here's another question. How can we be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now, all these questions are answered in this book, and it's called The Charismatics, A Doctrinal Perspective by Dr. John F. MacArthur, Jr. I like what John has written in the cover of the book. The book was first published, and it was published by Zondervan. And I'm trying to look for the first publishing date because that's when I bought it. Yeah, 1978. The ISBN number, in case you want to get that, you're ready. ISBN 0310-284902. I like what's written on the cover of the book. The charismatic movement has made an impact on the church possibly unparalleled in history. He ain't lying about that. Through modern communication, especially television, the charismatic movement has been sweeping the globe. In the United States, South America, the Orient, everywhere the church exists, the charismatics are expanding at a rapid pace. Recognizing, John says, the importance of this movement and the need for a biblical evaluation of it. Now, you see what he did? He didn't say no judging, being critical, saying people ain't saved, they're going to hell, or they're lying. He said, I'm going to evaluate it with an open Bible. John also is a Greek scholar. I've been in his personal private study, in his office, in his church. And let me tell you, it is a desk in the middle of the room with literally thousands of books wrapped around him. He encloses himself in there and does study from the original Greek text. The man is brilliant. You may not like him because he's a fundamentalist. He is one of the greatest theologues of the age that we are living in, Dr. John MacArthur Jr. You may not like his personality. You may not think that he cares enough for black people and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Hey, everybody got their little hang-ups. I got mine. He got his. I love him. He is one of the greatest gifts to the church today, Dr. John F. MacArthur Jr. When that man dies, if I can, I will go to his funeral and weep. I am not even to be, in terms of accomplishments, feats accomplished, I'm not even in the same ballpark with him. Don't even get that twisted. And I love it when he sees me and calls me by name, when he says, "Hello, John, how are you?" I said, "I'm fine, John. How are you?" Now, that's what a true Christian, that's the way a true Christian is. He knows when he's, and if you've ever been to the Master's Seminary on the campus of the Grace Church, and that beautiful seminary that they built, and that library that they have built, state-of-the-art, something else, just, ooh, John MacArthur Jr. He goes on. And he says that we're going to do a study from biblical. See, I like that. Evaluation. John MacArthur has turned the searchlight of Scripture on what some are calling the greatest revival in the history of the church. Yes, some are calling it. Because I don't believe that the charismatic movement is the greatest revival in the history of the church. Oh, no. I would never say that. There's so much confusion in the church today behind the charismata. You wouldn't believe it. He goes on and says, the author, drawing on his own personal experience, tries to honestly answer the question that have bothered him and others. Are all those people who are supposedly having all those amazing experiences really right after all? See, John asked a good question too. John MacArthur knows Jack Hayford personally. His church is in the same part of the city. They've met on various occasions. I've read some of Jack Hayford's work. And I'm telling you, man, ooh, ooh. John says, could it be that I'm missing out on the real moving of God? You know what, that's interesting. And I think he's asking that question in the cover of the book, rhetorically, because he knows that he's not, just like I know that I'm not. And here's the question, do you know that you're not? See, because every real Christian that knows the Word of God knows that when they look at the charismatic movement, that they ain't missing out on nothing. And my father was a Pentecostal preacher, my grandfather, that is. John asked another question. Are many charismatic brothers reaching a higher level than I in their walk with Christ? He's asking that rhetorically too, because he knows better. I like the way John MacArthur does. John MacArthur follows the Apostle Paul's admonition, study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's about study. Goes on and says that, written in a very popular style, the charismatics is for anyone that is puzzled by the startling and seemingly miraculous things happening amongst Christians today. Yes, see, I'm not even startled, puzzled, or amazed by what they say. I look at people like Benny Hinn, Catherine Kuhlman, TVN, when I want to be entertained. And he says, Is it for the seeker? The one willing to listen to God's word? And the key issues of the book are revelation, interpretation, apostolic uniqueness, historical transition, spiritual gifts, spiritual baptism, healings, tongues, and true spirituality. The Charismatics, a doctrinal perspective. Another book that I'll be quoting from, and it's a great book called The Charismatics and the Word of God by Victor Bergen, a biblical and historical perspective of the charismatic movement. This is a great little book. I haven't spent too much time in this book. Let me see, the ISBN number for this book is, and it was published in 1985 from Evangelical Press. The ISBN number is 0-852-34-2098. Victor Bergen says that there have been claims and counterclaims relating to prophecy, healing, tongue speaking, which abound in the church. What does the Apostle Paul say about the charismata? See what I mean? See, we are all asking, and this, my Christian friends, that's why I'm devoting these Wednesdays to the charismata. And you know what? I'm never going to end it. I know I was going verse by verse through the book of Genesis. I had to stop. Because there's just going to be a time for you to freshly come and listen to me as a biblical pastor talk about this. And I really do not know what your particular issue is, but I am very, very aware that you may be having a particular issue that you're going through and that you're trying to resolve that I am able to assist you with as I go through the charismata. You see, because that's it. And it needs to be done. And hopefully I will hit on a particular issue that you're wrestling with, and as I hit on this issue, I'm going to handle it biblically. I'm going to do the Greek exegesis, going to have it right here, and hopefully maybe I can have some of you call the office with your questions, and we'll record your questions and your answer and put it up on the air. Or you can email me, and we can take care of it that way. But we're going to go through this. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go through this. We're going to handle it. Look at what else he says here. Bergen. Okay. He says, and I like this next statement, what does the Apostle Paul say about the charismata? What are the marks of an apostle? In the swirling tide of confusion, the Bible alone is the bedrock for our understanding and practice. Did you see what he did again? And are you noticing this that's happening? Every author from which I study and read are referring back to the Bible. The crazy thing is that when you look at the charismatic writers, they never refer like that. They never say we're going to go to the Bible. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, we want you to look deep within your heart and feel what God is saying to you. Wrong answer. He also goes on and says, it is here that the author begins. In other words, in the Bible. With a thorough examination of what the scriptures teach on these key issues. Before moving on to examine the historical background, the numerous charismatic movements of the past. And then he says, from Montanism to Edward Irving and the beginning of the modern Pentecostalism, Victor Bergen gives a perspective that helps the reader understand more clearly the root of today's charismatic movement. So I'll be quoting from that book. That's a good one.
And I'm reaching for my other book.
I'm reaching for my other book here. I'm kind of way out. Should have had it here. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Here's another book that I'll be quoting from, A Different Gospel, which is an historical and biblical analysis of the modern faith movement by D.R. McConnell. I'll be quoting from that book. Most of you know about this book already. And the ISBN number is 0-913-573-787. What I like about this book is the fact that when I bought the book, I bought it from the bookshelf of a pastor that is no longer alive. And it says here, written in his handwriting, Summation of the Metaphysical Unitarian Church, New Thought, and Emerson, and Cultic Beliefs, Positive Confession, After the Power to Create Its Own Reality, The Philosophy of Life, taught by Emerson. And I find these notes very interesting, and he has various pages listed here. I had put down on page 16 my definition of a cult. Listen to this. Because in this book it says, the faith theology, new revelation, or heretical cult. So I'll be getting into that. Also, we're going to have, like I said, wonderful times as we study the Charismata. Those are not the only books I have in my library. I'm just glancing. The shelf right now, I have so many books on it, but these are the ones that I'll be speaking. Here's two lesser books, Divine Healing, Under the Searchlight, nice little paperback by Samuel Fisk, I imagine that he's dead now. The picture in the back of this book. Very interesting little paperback. And this was put out by the Regular Baptist Press in 1978. And they examine Old Testament, New Testament passages, and they discuss the difficult passages. It's back in the day, that's the way the pastor did his work. This was obviously a paper that he must have done while he was in seminary. But that'll be one of the minor texts that I'll be looking at as I look at this. And oh, man. He does a lot of cross references here, too. Those of you that are real true students of the Word are going to love this Charismata. I know it doesn't seem like I'm getting into anything today because I'm not. I'm just explaining to you, basically, that you need to read books by other people that's done the work. Now, if you want to start doing an exegetical research on 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 on your own, that's fun, too. Here's one, Spiritual Warfare, Recognizing and Overcoming the Work of Evil Spirits. This is written by Michael Harper. Talking about spiritual warfare and how to be involved in that as overcomers, fighting the good fight of faith. looking at the Devil's Pentecost. Here's an interesting statement by Charles Kingsley. He says, the devil is shamming dead, but he is never busier than now. Yeah, I like that. Oh, he's shamming dead, but he is never busier than now. Right. And I might add, in the life of the church. Well, I don't have to spend a whole hour doing this. This is just the introduction to Charismata. And I'm hoping, praying, that you will become a part of our time as we look at this on Wednesdays here on this site. Yeah. We need to look closely at it. What is the Holy Spirit doing in us? I know. It's going to be rough because you think that, you know, I'm already coming to the text with a preconceived idea. Well, let me calm your heart. I know what the Word of God teaches about some of these things before I teach them to you. Yes. And I believe what the Word of God says. I'm not coming with a preconceived idea on what some preacher told me, what some theologue told me. I know because it's true. Here's the difficulty with many of you Christians that'll come and listen to Charismata. You don't know how you've come to arrive to know. Now, once you've come to arrive at how you've come to arrive to know, and I'm not talking double talk like Noel Jones. Once you've come to the point, let me give it to you like this. Once you've come to realize how you realize based upon what God has done, then your freedom will be complete. See you next time. Lesson number two. Oh, and don't end up like the picture that you're looking at on the website. Stressed out by madness. This is Pastor John. Thank you for joining me for Charismata Introduction.